So what is this all about? Why do we come here to church, this whole project of church? Is it just a social club, a place to come and meet other people, or come and hang out with people, or in the case of Ackley, to come and have a family reunion every week? I keep learning everyone being related to each other here, so... Or is this just a common interest group or just a bunch of people who end up in the same place on Sunday or a corporation or a business? Well, no. It is not just any of these things. So what is this all about? Well, in a word, Jesus Christ. This is about Jesus Christ, God who became man, who entered into the world and began this whole process of salvation in the world. His mission to save the world and nothing less than that. And that then Jesus Christ invites us to share in his mission. This operation of salvation. To make his love and the power of his love and his healing power known into the world. To bring salvation to the world. That's what this is all about, the mission of Christ and him being gracious enough to invite us into that mission. As St. Paul says in the second reading, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. That each and every one of you have received a call to this mission, to share in this mission. And then Jesus says, go, proclaim this gospel. Go proclaim the good news to every creature. So when we get talking about mission, there's two questions I want to bring up that are interrelated questions. First, are you invested in this mission? And second, related to it, how are you living this mission? Because as we know, and Father Tony especially has talked about before, we're faced with challenges in these parishes. That we have less priests serving in a larger geographical area. But whether these parishes are growing or dying, or whether people are coming to know Christ, have a genuine encounter with him, whether they hear about the true healing power of the mission of the gospel, this evangelization renewal, that depends a lot less on this goofus standing up here in front of you, and a lot more on the people in the pews, that you are a part of this mission. That this mission isn't just about, well, the priests and the nuns, they do their thing and we show up on Sunday. No, that you are on the front lines of the mission. So, are you invested in that mission of bringing Christ into the world, and how are you living that mission? So first of all, are you invested in that mission? Because the Lord is supposed to be the Lord of everything in my life. So is the Lord of everything in my life? Do I allow him to be the Lord of everything of my life? Of my time, of my money, of my mind, of my body, of my spirit, of everything I am, of my life decisions? Is the Lord of that or not? Or are we just having the Lord be a spectator off to the sides while I live my life and just call him in when I need him? Is the Lord of my life? Is he the Lord of my time? Everyone I know and their mother is busy. And in fact, I meet retired people who are newly retired, and they tell me they're even more busy in retirement than they were when they were working full time. So everyone is busy. But how do we, in that busyness, and how do we use our time, how do we allow the Lord to be the Lord of that? To shape the way we invest our time and spend our time. That sometimes it's really easy, even for priests, to think, well, I know God is always there, so I'll just make time for him later, and I'll cram in my time of prayer when I can fit him in. Don't worry, even I struggle with this. And I'm doing godly things. I'm like, all right, God, I'll talk to you later. You're trying to tell me something? Well, you know, just be quiet for a while. I'll come back to you. But really, it should be the opposite. That God and that time of prayer and Mass should be those non-negotiables in our life around which we plan everything else. I met a family who talks about that they have their family meeting every week, planning out their week, and that the first thing they put in their schedule is church, going to church on Sunday. And then everything else gets planned around this. Also, a couple weeks ago, I talked about in some of the parishes that some churches do what they call the 1% challenge, which is, are you willing to give 1% of your day to intentional prayer with God each day for the next 30 days? 1% of your day. That's approximately 14 minutes and 24 seconds of your day. But do we even give God that to allow him to speak to our life? Is the Lord of my time? Do I invest in his mission with my time? And of course, we talk about investment. People think about money. So how is my money ordered to the mission of Christ? Am I primarily spending it on myself for my own pleasures that I could live without? Or am I using it for the mission of Christ, that he may be known in the world and that the poor and the lost and the broken may be cared for? How is it my money is invested in this mission? Am I supporting missionary efforts to proclaim Christ to the poor? And there's many even around here in Hampton. We have La Luz Hispana. We have a local food pantry. In Iowa Falls, there's the Wings of Refuge to help those women who have been in human trafficking. And many, many others, of course, good missions to support. So how is my money that I earn ordered according to the mission of Christ? Am I invested with my time and my money in this mission of Christ to bring his salvation to the world? Many times when we come to church, there's two mentalities that we can easily fall into. One, that Christianity, we treat it as a spectator sport. That it's really easy to come in and, you know, maybe I'll come and I'll watch and be entertained, but if not much happens, well, you know, I'm just watching, so. But really our mentality is that we're to be invested in this mission, that you are not spectators, but you are active players on the field. So are you going to invest in this mission or not? Or the other, the spectator sport, or the other is a consumer mentality. That I come to get a product. That I come and I guess if it's okay, then maybe I'll choose to invest in it or not. Or if I don't like it, I can just go elsewhere. Rather than the way we should be thinking, if I go to church and if I see that there's problems or the church isn't doing this or should be doing this, well, how am I investing in this mission to make that happen? One of my pet peeves is when someone of the church comes to me and is like, you know, Father, the church should be doing this and this. The church should be doing more to serve the poor. As if they're not part of this church. I say, well, you are the church. So invest. Invest in this mission. Make it happen. Yes, we could always be doing more to serve others, to serve the poor. So how are you investing in this to make this happen, to inspire others to be a part of this mission? Which brings me to the second question. First, how are you invested in this mission? But the second question, how are you living the mission? That especially back in, sometimes we think about mission, we think about missionaries bushwhacking in the Amazon or serving in third world countries in a far away place. And yes, it's important to support those missions, those world missions. And we'll hear more about that next week. We'll be having a missionary priest come in. And that is good and important. But the mission field isn't just far away in some other country. The mission begins right outside those doors, right here in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Because I know that here in our very communities, there are people who do not yet have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That there are people whose lives are yet to be transformed by the gospel. There are people in our very communities who need the healing power of Christ in their lives, who who have broken lives, who need healing. There are people who need to know the divine love of the Heavenly Father. And you are in much more position to reach them than I am, even. You are on the front lines of that mission field. These are people you work with, that you go to school with. These are people you live next to. These are people you frequent the same diner or run into Sky Cone Cafe or whatever it is. That you are on the front lines of the mission. That sometimes when we think about living out our faith more fully, we often think of helping out more in church here, being in the choir, being a Eucharistic minister or a reader at Mass, which are all very, very good things, and we should. But the real test of how are we living our faith is how are we living it out there, outside of this building, outside of these walls. How are we living our faith? How are we making Christ known, sharing how Christ has transformed our own life with others? How are we serving the poor and the lost and the broken out there? How are we creatively engaging in that mission? That we have to think creatively and be creative, but it doesn't have to be complicated. I just saw a YouTube video this week that I would recommend looking up when you go home. Kristen and the Turquoise Table. Kristen and the Turquoise Table. Kristen is a middle-aged woman who lives in Texas, and she had a desire to be a missionary to foreign countries, to go to foreign countries and proclaim the gospel, but now she lives in Texas and is a mother of children in high school. That she was praying, how am I supposed to live the mission? She began to realize that the mission field is right in her own neighborhood. So she bought a table, a picnic table, and painted it turquoise and put it in her front lawn right next to the sidewalk and sat there. And she said it was kind of awkward at first because people would walk by and she's just sitting there right next to the sidewalk. But then eventually people started stopping and chatting, and more started stopping and chatting. And she realized she didn't know 90% of the people who lived immediately around her. She knew like one other person in the neighborhood, but couldn't name all the people in the houses immediately around her own house. And then she began to get to know them, their names, their stories, their joys, their struggles. And her little turquoise table began to be a gathering place where people would stop. She started putting a pot of coffee out, that people would stop and chat longer, start having deeper and deeper conversations. And she started developing a deep relationship with them. That she said it became this holy gathering place where more and more now it's this assembly, this gathering place where people come intentionally to seek out love and community. That all it took was a turquoise table. So how are we called to live the mission out there in the world? Sometimes it's as simple as putting a table in our front lawn. But whatever it will be, maybe it's a turquoise table. Maybe it's going out there and knocking on the door of a neighbor we know who's struggling. Maybe it's inviting someone over for dinner. Maybe if you're really into campaigning, maybe it's going on a campaign for Christ. Instead of knocking on doors to tell people about politicians, it's sharing with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. How is the Lord calling you? So that's something to pray and discern. How am I called to live this mission? To be creative, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And the Lord is with you in that mission. Because there is extraordinary power of Christ at work in our ordinary lives. And Christ's ascension into heaven was not him pulling away from us, but drawing our humanity into the presence of the Heavenly Father so his divine power can be at work in our ordinary lives. That, as it says in the Ascension, the Lord worked with the apostles and confirmed their word through accompanying signs. So whatever it is, brothers and sisters, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. Whatever that is, whether it's however you're called to share people with Christ, to pray with the sick, maybe even to lay your hands on the sick and pray for their healing. But live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. And as Christ says, go into the whole world and proclaim the creature to every person under heaven.